countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Now we're going to move up the country a little bit, because when the two ESB peat-fired power stations in the Midlands were shut for good, it sent shockwaves through the area where generations of families earned a living and local communities thrived in and around Offaly, Roscommon and Longford. And it prompted the government to appoint Ciarán Mulvey as Just Transition Commissioner to oversee the replacement of old jobs with new enterprises. And 18 months on, where are you? Well, Ciarán Mulvey joins me in studio. Ciarán, good morning.
Good morning to you, Damien, and to your listeners.
And before we talk about that, I know you were tuned in a few weeks ago when we had Ella's report on mosaics and Laura Early's book on mosaics in Roscommon, and it struck a chord with you.
It did indeed. My father worked for John Crane, and then himself and Sergio Benedetti and a number of others set up their own company after John Crane's death, so Mozart Limited. So my father put up a lot of those shop fronts that she has described so beautifully in her book. I just got it the other day, and I was down in Tullamore, so a colleague of mine had picked it up from Roscommon County Council. So I was delighted with it. Like, it's a bolt out of the blue in the memory of the great work my father did in terrazzo and mosaics.
Yeah, lovely legacy to have. So you're a Rossi, you're a Roscommon town man.
I'm a long-suffering Rossi fan, yes. Yeah.
Well, you're not doing too bad in recent years. But so because you grew up then in and around, like, Lanesborough's only out the road from Roscommon town, and then Shannon Bridge not too far away. So you grew up knowing the importance of Bord na Mona and peat and turf cutting.
Yeah, well, as a young man, I used to go visit my grandfather down in Castlerea, County Roscommon, and of course we were put to work on the bog, which myself and my brothers didn't always entirely enjoy. It was a kind of frenetic existence between, you know, diving off to look at other areas, and rather than cutting turf or saving. It was backbreaking. That is bad. It was backbreaking work, but we were young people then and could take it. But I have that memory.
Yeah.
And my brother John, who lives in Athlone, still gets his turf for the winter. So I would have an affinity around it, even though I'm out of Roscommon since, I think, 1965, actually. Yeah. So,
But you would have been aware of the shock in and around Lanesborough and Shannon Bridge. We always knew that it was going to come to an end anyway at some stage, but to happen so quickly.
Yeah. But over the years, I've been travelling up and down the country in my various jobs that I've held over the years. And the one thing that would resonate with you in the Midlands was the iconic structures that were there in Ferban and Road, in Shannon Bridge and in Lanesborough. But also the council housing, the housing that had been provided by Bord na Mona, which was very revolutionary in its time. And you passed through those before we had motorways. So Bord na Mona and the ESB had this decades-long imprint. There were both state companies as well that had made tremendous economic progress in the new Free State and had thrived in the new Free State, but had given tremendous amount of good employment to people in the Midlands, and actually had brought people in from the western parts of Ireland into the Midlands to work within the Midlands.
Yeah. And and Ciarán Mulvey had a great report on Nationwide.
He did indeed. Yeah, I was participated in that.
And it gave a great sense of the importance. Yeah. So you now are this Just Transition Commissioner. What is Just Transition, and what is your job?
Well, basically, when Richard Bruton appointed me in November 2019, it was obviously in the heat of the decision by the ESB to indicate that we're no longer going to use either both plants. In the light of on Bord Planana decision that they weren't going to challenge. That had a reciprocal domino effect on Bord na Mona itself, insofar as they were the peat suppliers to these energy generation stations. So it had an impact, not so much on the ESB in the sense there were 80 employees, which have been catered for since, thankfully, but on almost the 2,000 employees in Bord na Mona, which had obviously an immediate impact in terms of their employment and in terms of their future and in terms of the real image of Bord na Mona in the region as having over the decades provided thousands of employment and livelihoods to families. So Bord na Mona had been going through a voluntary redundancy transition period anyway. So when I arrived on the scene, they still had roughly about, certainly about 2,000, circa 2,000 employees, 500 have now left on the basis of voluntary redundancy. And the remaining employees have either gone into the bog rehabilitation program, a number of hundreds into there. Into the other enterprises, Bordenham One are successfully operating their herb farm, renewable energy recycling. There is another issue coming up over the Brigette factory, which will close in 2024. It has accelerated the brown to green strategy that had been adopted by Bordenham One. So they're investing heavily in that. And of course, the bog rehabilitation programme now is a major injection to the employment and sustainability of the Bordenham One presence. That has received 108 million in government funding, plus another 18 million from Bordenham One resources. So that is going to make a significant impact on the continuity of the great skills that are in Bordenham One around bog rehabilitation. It's moving from harvesting to preservation and all the issues that go with that over sustainability, over water management, over, refarming the bogs really in a positive way around the natural growth and biodiversity that will come through there.
So green energy and tourism, are they going to be central to the future development and transformation?
Well, I did in the three reports I've made to the Minister over the last year is emphasise very much the strength of the Midlands and a whole of Midlands approach. That is bringing together all the funding mechanisms that exist at the moment and getting a sense of plan and purpose and continuity to those. That is from the Just Transition Fund itself, which will be expending about 27 to 30 million over the next 2 to 3 years on the projects there. But also those monies coming from government departments around heritage, tourism, rural regeneration, even urban regeneration in the area, creating enterprise hubs, business hubs, playing to the strengths, developing new enterprises, renewable energy enterprises, building on the, as I said, the strengths of the region and the knowledge and experience, but also the new food products that are likely to develop. There's interesting projects we've agreed to fund in the food area, particularly in substitute importation of foods, one in Lanesborough and another one, Relief, which will be doing the hydroponics on Bordenham One land. They've negotiated an agreement with them. So it's also then moving into the area of research. Quite a lot of research going on around biodiversity and the use of the Midlands. So there's three or four projects we're funding there. And there's another major project being funded through Trinity College. There is also the tourism. There's a fair bit of money now going in through greenways, cycleways, walkways, Loch Borah, building on the tourist staycation, the utilisation of the canals, a number of projects there. And then there's going to be a new greenway bridge across the River Shannon and Athlone, which is an 8 million investment. So quite an array of projects. And then,
What about the funding in those projects? Are you worried now in COVID land? And
It's been very frustrating, to be honest with you, Damien, over the last 6 months since we announced these projects last July. We called in the projects and then announced them in November. I think we've had two problems with those. COVID is one. And secondly, trying to get these projects into place. We're working with the department on those and trying to get these fast-tracked as quickly as possible and to reduce the bureaucracy involved in them, because there is a level of oversight that I feel maybe we need to review, and certainly if there's another funding mechanism, we certainly need to review. But we're also preparing for the Just Transition Fund from Europe. There's a heavy commitment from Europe of 75 million with matching funding from Ireland, that it will be part of the territorial plan. And the Midlands has been specifically mentioned and carved out as an area of just transition because of the peat harvesting as part of the coal platform, so to speak. I think Money Point might be involved in that as well.
Okay, what about planning? We have a great tradition in this country when it comes to planning and the problems that are attributed to it. Are you worried about that being an issue, getting a lot of these projects
out of
money?
One thing I wasn't too familiar with when I started this and I was doing some of the research, I couldn't believe the number of legal cases that had gone through the High Court and Supreme Court, if not to Europe. We seem to have an extraordinary inability in this Ireland to bring projects through on a fast-track basis from initial concept to delivery. Mm. And we do have a myriad, sometimes I feel, of contradictory requirements in terms of European law between different agencies. The EPA on board Planola, the local planning authorities for a start. And we need, I really think, out here how we can merge the planning requirements, particularly for green energy projects and particularly for just transition, where a new approach is needed. And I feel here that we need to get more interdepartmental work around how we streamline the requirements, taking into consideration the real concerns of people, the necessity of adhering to European law and directives, habitats, etc. But try to reduce the level of objections, try to engage more with communities, particularly around renewable energies, wind farm, the utilisation of land, timber, water. So, you know, if we're going to make a success of our green enterprise strategy, but also our carbon zero targets, and there's very, very high requirements as far as under the new climate bill. If we're going to do that over the next 8 years, we need new strategic thinking. We need new strategic planning by which we'll have a whole of problem identification and solution.
All right. I want to just finally, with the minute or so that we have left, just ask you about the Olympic Games, because you're chairman of Sport Ireland as well. Do you think they should go ahead?
Well, we're working in tandem with the Olympic Federation of Ireland and the Paralympics Ireland. We'll be guided by them in regard to this. The role of Sport Ireland is to support our athletes, to support our NGBs, and to work with the Olympic Federation of Ireland and with Paralympics Ireland. Now, we've already invested over the current period about 40 million in support for the Olympics, with almost 9 million for direct athlete funding. So I don't want to create any upset among them. We've qualified almost 80 athletes for this in a multiplicity of sports that we would never have envisaged 10 years ago. We're also part of this preparing our new crop of athletes who are successfully performing at world and European level for the Paris Olympics, which will be only 3 weeks. So, look, we have rowing teams, we have relay, we have athletic relay teams, we have individual athletes. We have three equestrian teams. We have our boxers. Some of our boxers still to qualify. There will be an event in June in London. And then hopefully we will have a full our sailing. And then we have triathlon, judo. So I want to reassure our athletes, every funding will continue to be made available to them. We have our support medical team going through the Institute of Sport in agreement with the Olympic Federation Paralympics. It's really their call. Our role and our remit is to give every support financially and structurally that we can. And we're doing that. And
do you think they'll go ahead, though, at this stage?
Well, I don't have any reason to think they won't.
Right.
And that is a decision to be made by the IOC and the government of Japan. Our remit at the moment, our focus, our target is to reassure our athletes and keep them focused, not on the politics of what's happening at the moment. We have a great, like, we're going to have one of the biggest teams we've ever had with great athletes. We have a prospect of a number of medals and we might have some surprise medals.
Okay, well, we should know more over the next few days. Thank you. It's not that far away. Kieran Mulvey, it's been lovely chatting to you. We'll come back to you and I'd invite you back into studio as the just transition process continues. And thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much, Damien. Thank you.